This is the KGEZ Good Morning Show. Robin Mitchell and John Hendricks and Congressman Ryan Zinke is joining us this morning.
Good morning, Ryan.
Good to be with you as always.
I know where you're going to be tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to get back to D.C., but some good things have happened. Fill the lake. It looks like, you know, if you pound your fist hard enough, people listen. So it looks like we're on a path. For full pool and enjoyment in Flathead Lake over the summer. My job is now is to make sure they have access to the right scientific data so they can make the great decisions earlier and make sure all parties are working so we have a delightful summer on Flathead Lake.
That'd be fantastic. Now, the bill that you constructed in Congress, where does that stand now?
We put together the bill. It takes a while because you got to make sure it's a legal framework. But what it does is... Right now, the FERC license, you have to be at full pool at 15 June. Mm-hmm. We extended that all the way to the end of summer, so you can have it. And utilizing the reservoir called a dam to provide water when it needed. And look, in my lifetime, I've seen 120 feet below pool at Hungry Horse. It really is a management issue more than a water volume issue. And I'm glad to see all sides recognize it and moving forward and see if we all get along and work together, good things happen, right?
My gosh, there are a lot of people that have a word into that decision.
They do, but there's a lot of local issues. On your news broadcast, you talked about the Baltimore Bridge, obviously very important, but so is a little bridge in Big Fork.
Yeah.
And I was down there, and look, it separates, a lot of the families from the school side, and you don't want to have the kids walk around the highway. So we're a great country. We're a great state. I think we can figure out how to put a temporary, pedestrian bridge for safety down at Big Fork. Come on, guys. If we can figure out how to repair, a Baltimore Bridge, I think we can figure out, and the engineers are down there. Look, I could spit across that river. It's not that big. Come on, guys. everyone work together. Let's get a little pedestrian bridge so Big Fork can also have a good summer.
More of a height issue above the river
Well, that's part of the problem, but the real problem is that they've got some contaminants on both sides of the river there that once they start digging around in there.
Well, I was in Kosovo a lot, right? And someone would blow up a bridge, and we'd have a bridge done in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So come on. A temporary bridge in there, so it's to keep the kids safe in the community. Mm-hmm. And those are the things the government is doing. And I sit on appropriations, I've been around the state, looking at and replacing bridges and things, and people ask, well, does this increase the budget? No, what it doesn't. What happens is it comes out of the transportation account. And I got to tell you, Montana needs our transportation too. Unless we get involved with it, things don't happen. I'll give you an example. Anderson Bridge in Dillon, Montana. I don't think very many people know where Anderson Bridge is in Montana,
especially
in D.C. But I
know where Dillon is, but I don't know where...
They needed to replace this bridge, 1924 or 25. Mm-hmm. You look at Montana's aging infrastructure, just like the little bridge down at Big Fork, and it affects us, too. It affects rural America, and we need, our infrastructure, too. So, police forces and those type of things, we're shoring up where we can.
I'm just thinking, you mentioned bridges. The bridge over Flathead River at Highway 2, east of Evergreen. We used to call that the New Steel Bridge. Now, that was 75 years ago.
Well, you're showing your age.
I am, but I mean, that's true.
Well, absolutely.
And 75 years old, that bridge has been there. It appears to be in good shape, but wait a minute. 75 years?
Well, and also, Montana's growing. The Flathead is growing, certainly in my lifetime. And so, you look at where we're going to put major crossroads infrastructure, and how to do it in a timely fashion so, everything runs right. So, it's part of the federal government's job is infrastructure. When I'm happy to do it. I sit in appropriations on there. But, I remain an optimist. There's... obviously we have deep challenges in this country. You hear Jamie Dimon, echoing many of the overseas problems, and we have problems overseas.
Yeah.
But we also have problems domestically. And I was just down at the border, and I got to tell you, there is no border. This is what happens is people come in, they say the famous words, I live in fear. They're processed within 24 hours. When I say processed, given food, medical treatment, if there's something wrong, they go to the hospital, they get treated. They get a meal, they get some sleep, and then they get a piece of paper that says report to Dallas that say in 2024 they're given a ticket and they're, and within a couple months they're given a work visa, and we have no idea where these people are. So, you know, and the president has full authority to shut down the border, and the funding, he just chooses not to. So this is going to have to be, I think it's probably the number one issue for people on people's mind, because we see it. You know, you see Ukraine through your newspaper or your internet, but you see the border here. You see it in Kalispell, Montana, and now just, you know, there's sex trafficking, child trafficking, drug trafficking all across Montana, primarily a result of you know, not having a secure southern border. We don't have a northern border. Not as many problems, but there's high profile problems coming through the northern border, because if you don't want to be seen crossing the border, we'll come north. Yeah. Because, you know, Montana is the same size as Washington, D.C. to Chicago, mm-hmm. plus 45 miles.
Well, you know, the Boulder Pass Trail in Glacier Park runs right around the northern, right across the northern border.
You know what? It's a beautiful hike.
Yeah.
So, you know, enjoy the border hike. But, you know, we got to secure the border. A nation can't exist without a border. And, look, I'm all for, you know, legal immigration, because there is hundreds of thousands of people that are waiting in line that have filled out the form. They've been vetted. You know, H-2 visa, we should be incentivizing that and decentivizing doing it illegally. Yeah. So come on, guys. That's all worked together. It can be done. And I'm still an optimist. What man breaks, man can fix.
Yeah. Maybe since they are living in fear, maybe, and we don't know where they go, once they're released, maybe instead they need to be in a WPA program working on our bridges.
Well, you know, working is also interesting. This is a shocking statistic, is that males 18 to 45, about a third are out of the workforce. And when I say out of the workforce, no W-2, no 1099. And so where are they? Some are in college, some are in prison. There's a lot of cash business out there. And, of course, cash mm-hmm. business doesn't pay into Social Security, Medicare, right. taxes. And then there's the couch. So we have to really incentivize people to work. And work provides purpose, it provides focus, it provides being. And whether you're a dishwasher or a surgeon, I think all work is good. And we need, as a society, to make sure we incentivize people to go out and work and helping people with that challenge.
Well,
sometimes it is a challenge.
We're at a strange place right now. Most of the time I've been alive, jobs have been at a premium. Now we've got more jobs available than we have people to fill them.
Well, and I can tell you the numbers aren't great about people sometimes filling them, because there's people that are willingly, knowingly not working. Not a lot, but enough where it's a concern. And again, you know, we grew up, work is good, and all work is good.
Yeah.
So I think we got to focus on that, among other things, and not hating your neighbor. You know, in Montana, let's not go red blue team all the time. Let's go a little more red white and blue team, mm-hmm. and don't hate your neighbor. And you can vehemently disagree with them, but leave the hate out.
Ryan, you're in town to give away some money today.
Well, these are these projects which are important. 2 mile drive, and again, you know, I sit on appropriations. And we go through on transportation, and you know what I do is I go to the county commissioners. I think the county commissioners are front line, and I want to make sure that my priority is the same as theirs. And so I spent a lot of time with the county commissioners. Mark Johnson, I went to high school with him. We've known each other for a long time. Mark, you know, what do you need in Kalispell? Uh-huh. And making sure that if it has a federal nexus, look, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure basically the money comes here rather than, you know, Eastern New York. So, because look, you know, for a long time, our infrastructure projects are important too.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have a lot of people, but we have a lot of people in the summer. So sometimes we have to make up for a lot of the infrastructure, which millions of people enjoy, which is great. We would love to share our great outdoors experience, but the infrastructure back behind it is a lot. And a lot of infrastructure, the federal government has a responsibility.
So tell us what you're going to do this morning.
Well, we're at 3:30 at the courthouse. We're going to...
Oh, it's this afternoon.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. We're going to go. We're going to look at some law enforcement issues for Lake County, help them on some technology for law enforcement. Kalispell, 2 Mile, with Flathead, some 9/11 systems to make sure that our systems work when you have a 9/11 call. Because, you know, cell phone coverage in Montana isn't exactly the best. I got up front, cell phone coverage in Iraq is better than the cell phone coverage in Montana.
Jeez.
Because we rebuilt Iraq's perfectly, and they knew if they ever blow up on the towers, their cell phones didn't work either. So in the middle of the war, the only thing that worked was a cell phone.
Jeez. Well, one of the things that you got the money for was building a new radio tower there at the 911 call center.
Yep.
And that's going to really make it so that we can have good, solid communications throughout the area. Because the 911 call center, that's where everything goes. And from there, it's distributed out to all of our public safety agencies.
Well, if it doesn't work, it kind of defeats the point of the 911.
Yeah, it does.
So you look at infrastructure again. You talk to the mayor, you talk to the county commissioners. What's important to them? And if it's important to them, it's important to me. And so we worked together, and they didn't think I was serious when our staff, and I have an unbelievable staff, by the way, really talented, both in D.C. and on the ground here. But, you know, when people didn't believe us, they said, look, I can help. I'm on appropriations, and I'm going to make sure that the district in Montana is heard from. And a lot of county commissioners, well, we've never had this before. Well, you know, try us out, and I think we did pretty good around the state on really important issues for Montana.
I think that one of the other things that the money that you're going to be bringing in will buy a second location for our 911 call center. They're going to build it in actually a bunker in the basement at the driver's licensing place or the car licensing place, the old Century Tel building on North Main Street. So if something were to go wrong at the main place, within something in the vicinity of 20 minutes, they can be operational there and still be taking care of our public safety.
Well, redundancy is important, yep. Especially, you know, from a former military officer. You know, if your prime system doesn't work, you should have a backup.
Yeah.
Right. And especially in 911 or key and essential safety season. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm excited. I go around, and if people want to say hello, we'll be at the Blue Moon today at 5. Tim Sheehy and I are for
it's a Blue Moon, huh?
You know what? You've made it when your name was on the kiosk at the Blue Moon.
That's right.
it's good. It's a good opportunity for people to come by and say hello and see what's on people's mind. But, you know, I want to assure, I remain an optimist. I haven't seen anything that's not fixable. You know, we have problems both overseas, in border and inflation. But all these are man-created primarily, and whatever man breaks, man can fix. But it does take leadership. It does take resolve. It does take working together a little more.
Well, you've got a list of things you want to accomplish here when you go back to D.C. One of the things you're going to get broadsided with is Speaker of the House. Are we going to keep Mike Johnson?
I am a strong supporter of Mike Johnson. And look, he's the most conservative speaker in the history of this country. He's a constitutional attorney. And there's one thing I don't move on, is that's the Constitution. And he's an attorney, I respect that. He's a Christian, there is no doubt about that. And lastly, I think he's kind. And in a world of hyper-partisanship and a lot of anger out there, don't confuse being kind for not being firm. He's firm, but he's also kind. And I'm 100% in support of Mike Johnson. I think he's a wonderful man. What I am in support of also is getting things done. And I took some criticism about these last votes for not shutting the government down and funding basic services. But look, when you shut the government down, you don't pay our military. And you don't pay our Border Patrol. And what you do is you give the keys to the car to the administration, because the administration determines what's critical and essential. And in a political world, if you shut down the government, you are giving the opposition full carte blanche to do harm, if they choose to. So enough's enough, guys. It's red, white, and blue. Let's do the right thing. There's a lot in that bill I hated. There's a lot in that bill I really hated. But what I was not going to do, I wasn't going to cede possible failure to our military. No. Look, you know, our military were configured to fight one major regional conflict at one time. We're not World War II anymore. We We can't fight a Pacific war and a European war simultaneously. We don't have the force structure. And what's changed in the last 2 years, John? Everything. So what we need to do as a military is you need to have the authority to pivot and look at the challenges today. But when you go to a continuous CR or shut the government, you have to run the same play that we were running 2 years ago. And look, we don't have any 155 shells. You have UAVs. You have technologies changing quarterly in the battlefield. We need to pivot and adjust for fire now. And I am unwilling to allow our U.S. forces to, God forbid, be beat on the battlefield. So there are priorities in my life, and making sure we defend this country and support the Constitution with me is number one.
So are you expecting there will be a call to vacate the chair?
I expect there will be. I expect it will be soundly defeated. The last time, look, the 118th Congress, right? It's been interesting coming back. And I would say we had a potential to do more, but also you look at what would happen if we didn't have the House. If we didn't, we were excellent at stopping a lot of bad things. And I will say we stopped a lot of good things. We stopped a lot of bad things. We stopped too much, but at least we stopped it. Going forward, or looking back, the speaker was a month. There was 15 rounds, and there was a debt ceiling. A lot of people voting against rules. And it's hard for me, to listen to people in good faith complain about the train being late at the station when a lot of people were responsible for blowing up the tracks. we agreed to the regular appropriation process. We agreed we'd do this. And then along the way, you got guys voting against the rules and stuff like that. And we don't get as much done. We stopped more than we got done. But I do support the speaker. I think the speaker's, And I'll say this, is I've been to a lot of battles in my life, and I have. And not every commanding general is George S. Patton. Because generals don't win wars. The front line wins wars. And leaders are successful when the front line works together as a team to make sure that leader is successful. So with Mike Johnson, he's going to be successful as long as the members rally behind him and help him rather than try to sink him.
All right. Gosh, Ryan, we're out of time here to talk with you, but boy, we covered a lot of ground today.
I was going to do it by phone, but I said, you know what? I love coming in and just talking to you guys, and I love turning the corner and seeing the Robin and John. And you know what? I think you should have a little bench out there so people can watch you.
Ryan, as always, thanks so much. Safe travels back to D.C.
Pleasure, and God bless everybody.
Thank you.
Your connection to our congressional delegation, Senators John Tester and Steve Gaines, Congressman Ryan Zinke and Matt Rosendale. You've got